Desire. Aren't you glad you've got a desire? How many of you enjoyed the word of the Lord here last night? Brother Joel just helicoptered right in, helicoptered right back out, didn't he? We appreciate our brother, what the Lord has given him in his ministry, how it is such a blessing to people that get to hear him. And you know what? You're right back at camp meeting again this morning. So turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them, welcome to camp meeting, September the 27th, 2015. Play some more of it, brother.
Weary days in bed.
This bride's gonna fly away.
Well, to a land where my joy shall never end.
I'll fly away.
Oh, now I'll fly away.
Oh, glory.
Thank God.
Fly away in the morning
when I die. Bars is full. Somebody say it's the truth. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord today. So glad you're here. We'll let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel Nunn, if you get ready this morning,
to come lead us to the Lord on behalf of our prayer request. Our screen is working. Is that right, Brother Brad? All right, good. I want to remember Brother Jackie Benton in prayer, still having problems with his hips and legs. Brother Wade sends that in. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jackie that the Lord would just strengthen our brother, give him healing in his body. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says to please continue to pray for Cindy. What is that last name? That's Brother Mac's niece. She has surgery this coming Monday to remove two lymph nodes. If they are cancer-free, they will release her. Somebody, let's just believe the Lord with those folks that will be all right. God's certainly a healer, isn't he? We know that. We do know that. Sister Lisa Davis says to please pray for my mother who is in rehab and needs prayer. My sister who lives with her is handicapped and is waiting on cancer medication. She needs back surgery, but this can't be done until the cancer is treated. So let's just pray for the Lord to give those folks strength and healing in their bodies. We'll just commit that to the Lord. This was sent over to the library. It says, please pray for my mother. She has had urinary tract infections off and on for the last 6 months or longer. And I ask that you all will pray that Satan will get off of her and may God let her get well. He was defeated at Calvary. We know that. Also pray for my cousin. His name is A.J. Baldwin. He has just been diagnosed with leukemia and has many unspoken prayer requests that the Lord knows all about. We just commit that to the Lord. Brother Samuel Shuffler says, I am going through extreme physical pain. It manipulates my emotions. I've been waiting on a miracle, and we just pray that the Lord would give our brother that miracle. He's a miracle-working God. Do you believe that this morning? You have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you've come, certainly appreciate our brother, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Just like to say that for my wife, I appreciate everything that you've done for her. She fell, so you don't know, she fell about a month and a half ago and broke her leg. And she can't put no weight on her foot. Church people brought food by and they sent cards. And we just appreciate it so much. Amen. And I was thinking about what Brother Farney preached last night. He was, I know in my house I got a set of foyers. Well, I live in a foyer and I got steps that goes up to the living room and steps going downstairs. Anyway I go, I have to go up and down steps. And sometimes when I go out to the car, I'll forget my keys, or I'll forget my wallet, or I'll forget my phone. And I guess it's kind of a joke at my house, but every time I go somewhere, my wife will say, what did you forget this time? And you know, sometimes that's not a bad thing. Brother Farney was preaching in St. John, the 4th chapter, about the woman at the well when Jesus told her the secrets of her heart. About where she had five husbands. The man she's living with now isn't your husband. And the Bible says that she left her water pot. She left something that time. And she went into the city and she said, come and see a man that told me the secrets, the things of my heart. Is not this the Christ? Amen. You know, that's what we need to do in church. We need to come to the altar. We need to leave all our problems there. When we come to the house of God, we come for one thing, and that's to worship. He's our healer. He's our savior. He's our supply giver. Every need that we have, he's able to give it to us this morning. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. Thank you for letting us live on this side of Calvary, knowing, God, that there's so many things in this world to hinder us, to cause us to fall back. But help us, oh God, to leave those things at the altar. Help us, oh God, to press towards the high calling. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move in this service today. Pray, God, that you'll bless the people, bless our pastor, anoint his lips, those over the airways. God, wherever they may be, I pray that you'll move for them today, Jesus. God, we now pray that you'll take complete charge. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in this service with us today, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray the service will be a blessing to those folks as well. Now, somebody said the screen was still not working. Maybe it wasn't a while ago, so we're going to make this. Hope I don't get in trouble. We've kind of got a situation. All the announcements and whatever are placed on the screen. And we're going to make this announcement one more time. All the sisters are invited to a household shower for Sister Ruth Cox, Brother Andrew Baxter. Today at 5:30 in the fellowship hall, so remember that. And that's probably on the screen. Maybe some of you did not see that. But anyway, that's this evening at 5:30. So remember that. Try to be here. Let's sing a song this morning. I'm so glad for one thing. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need. And only he was able to feel my situation. I have great friends, you do too, but they can't do everything for you. But he can. Let's sing it with all of our heart. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. On the hill of glory, where Jesus died for me.
He looked beyond.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just before we change the order of the service. Sister Roseanne, Sister Hadessa, ever how you have your song put together, if you come on. Brother Brandon, if you come onto the platform, we have a couple of songs this morning. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Somebody say it with me. God is good. Are you supposed to say the next line? God is good. And all the time. One more time. God is good. And all the time. Give Him one big old hand clap of praise. If you love Him with all your heart. I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. The greater bring you'll find.
He's not good just once in a while.
Somebody say praise the Lord. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning.
Don't fit in around here. I'm wandering through a world of pain and fear. But there is a place that welcomes me with open gates, crafted by the hand of Him who died that I'd be. Try to hold on till you wipe away my tears. I never thought I could miss some place I've never known, but I wanna go. I wanna go home. It's getting darker by a worship song. They call to me to come and be back where I belong. I wanna go home. I'm getting so homesick down here. I'll try to hold on.
was in chains. This world had a hold of me. My heart was a stone. I was covered in shame when you came for me. I couldn't run from your presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. It was a fire deep in my soul. I'll never be the same. I stepped out of the dark and into the light when he called my name. I couldn't run from his presence. I couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me. He loves me. He is for me. Jesus, how can it be? He loves me. He is for me. He holds the stars and he holds my heart. With healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me. My only hope, my everything. Y'all sing it with me. Jesus. Stars and he holds my heart with healing hands that bear the scars. The rugged cross where he died for me. My only hope, my everything. Jesus.
If God be for us, that includes this whole world. Amen. If everybody on the face of this planet turns against the bride, she's still got the greater odds. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's not just a good saying, that's the truth. That's exactly right. Let's turn to John chapter 1 today, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Our setting is 2,000 years ago. It's a very strange, peculiar time. Prophets have uttered things for many, many years. Some in symbols, some in parables, some straight out. The people are wondering what's to happen. A lot of political unrest. The Romans control a majority of the world, taxing the people, stressing the people. The people, of course, at this time frame always look for a deliverer, a Messiah. And then a man appears out in a barren country, baptizing people. He's dressed in a three-piece suit, of course, and has on a really nice tie and shirt from JCPenney. And he eats steaks and fried chicken and mushroom gravy. And oh, you know this story, do you? We'll pick up as this man is going to make an announcement. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. Now, can you imagine for those religious people of that day hearing this man say that a human being was the Lamb of God? And that this human being was going to take away not just the sins of the Jews, but the sins of the world. Verse 30, he says, "This is he of whom I sinned. After me cometh the man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." Now John is identifying him as being the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. So he's the Lamb, and he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. In verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Uh-oh. So he's a Lamb, Holy Ghost baptizer. The Spirit descended on him and stayed on him. Unlike the prophets of the Old Testament, which the Spirit would come and go, come and go, come and go. But according to him, this Spirit is going to stay on him forever. "I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. And the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, and he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God." Now by saying this, he is going to lose part of his crowd. He's going to lose part of his following. But that doesn't matter to a real servant of God. John knew Jesus must increase and John must decrease. What is this man doing? Identifying God's chosen place of worship. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for the service last night, your presence. We ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us once again today. We stand in need of you, Father, but we know that our needs are so small, so miniature compared to your greatness. Would you come today, Father? Take the service. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint the people that we can receive from the very mouth of God himself. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again today on the King and the galleries, and we'd like to look at, if the Lord would help us, the gallery of worship. Worship is a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Amen.
It's probably amazing how few people that God can actually receive worship from, but it is an amazing thing. And let me read this to you from God's chosen place of worship. In Malachi 4, aren't we promised another eagle, a pillar of light to be following, to show the erring church this day that he is Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't we promised another one to come flying from the wilderness? Amen. That's exactly the truth. How fitting and matching it is to Luke 17:30, where the Son of Man eagle will be revealing himself to bring to naught all other worship places such as denominations and so forth. Now, I want you to notice how the parallel runs between John the Baptist and Malachi 4 of this day. Of course, John the Baptist was Malachi 3. And yet, here the prophet of God picks up a parallel and identifies what John did. It was a parallel to his ministry as well. John the Baptist has the charge from Almighty God as being able to present the Lord Jesus as the new Lamb of God, not only the place that would atone for our sins, but he is the actual place of God's worship itself. Now, here we have something then, according to what Brother Bram picks this up and says, that there's going to be an eagle again. The Son of Man eagle, and when he comes, he will come to bring to naught all other worship places, such as denomination and so forth. God shows his place, John said. There it is. Then we're promised the same thing in this day. So he's pointing to Malachi 3, which happened in the days of John the Baptist. But now, we're no longer pointing to Malachi 3, but we're pointing to Malachi 4. But it's a very similar task and responsibility. And that is to show the erring church where God's provided place of worship is. Now, the Jews, for many, many years now, had believed that God's chosen place of worship was in Jerusalem. And they were right to a degree. They believed God had placed his name in Jerusalem. And they were right to a degree. But now God had placed his name in his body, or his sonship, upon the earth. Well, can it be in the Son and be in the tabernacle at Jerusalem at the same time? The attribute of the fullness of God can only be at one place at one time. So it cannot therefore be in the temple at Jerusalem and in the temple of the body of the Lord Jesus at the same time. Because this attribute of the fullness of the Godhead bodily was personified in him. 1 Timothy 3:16, for without controversy great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received up into glory. So that attribute of the fullness of God was in the human temple, the Lord Jesus. Now, John had a great task at hand. How was he ever going to be able to convince the majority of Judaism that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was now the house of God, the Lamb of God, the only chosen place? Now, you imagine presenting this now as the temple of God. The Lord Jesus comes with the very same thought and says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Now, they didn't understand that. How could they? Even whenever they accused him before Pilate, they said, this man said he would destroy this temple and raise it up in 3 days. They said, why, he's crazy. It took 46 years to build this temple. Howbeit, the Bible says he spoke of the temple of his body. Now, being God's new provided place of worship, then God's provided place of worship would not be there if the Lamb of God was here. This is why Jesus did not have to be offered upon the altar inside the temple. Jesus could have been offered down at a barn. Jesus could have been offered over in a cemetery. Jesus could have been offered in a garden in somebody's backyard where they was raising vegetables. He did not have to be raised or crucified, rather, inside the temple, because he was the temple himself. So wherever he chose, or the allocation of God's judgment would provide for him to be crucified, it did not need to be in a shrine or a temple, because he was the Lamb and he was God's provided place of worship. Now watch this, how Brother Bram parallels this. He said, then we're promised the same thing in this day, Malachi 4, to turn the hearts of the children back.
to say that he is not dead. These things are not for another race. Now think, friend, if the purpose of Malachi 4 is to turn our hearts back to the original Word of God, then once the restoration has been complete, will not Satan be allowed the opportunity to come and move inside that restoration move and pull away what he can who are not really seed life? Notice what God did in the first, in the Testament church, in the Alpha Bride, when Paul and them brought the Word of God and gave the original planting of the original Word. Then God allowed Satan to come in and attack what had been planted, that which had been sown, but the real elect stayed right with the Word, but those which are not born again by the Spirit of God went right on and made an organization. Now, if we have been restored back, the Omega Bride has been turned back to that original Word. God won't restore it and then put it under a glass dome. And they say, all right, devil, now I've got to restore. You can't attack her. You can't touch her. That's not the way our Father does business. But he will send his prophet Elijah to restore the faith of the children back to the original apostolic fathers. Then what he will do, take that messenger off of the earth, allow a lot of the witnesses to go off of the earth, allow a lot of those who were in the meetings to go off of the earth, and he will leave that message behind without near as many flesh witnesses. You see, those who depend on flesh have to have flesh to verify what they believe. But the real seed of God believe without flesh witnesses. They believe what? The Word of God. Because the Word is where they tie their souls. So then Satan will choose his strategy and he will come and attack the restored Omega Bride in order to do what? To say, this is not the only place of worship. It's everywhere. Why, anybody can have the Holy Ghost. Anybody can go in the rapture. Don't you see what he's doing? He's attacking. It proves to me once again, this message is right. He ain't attacking Oral Roberts. He ain't attacking Billy Graham. He's not attacking the Muslims. It's politically correct to be a Muslim in this day, but it ain't politically correct to be the bride. It never has been politically correct to be the elect, but I ain't worried about being politically correct. I just want to be correct. I want to be correct in God's eyes, don't you? Don't you see why all these things are happening around us? It has to. God has restored a bride and he's not put her under a glass bubble and protect her from all the opposition and all the sarcasm and all the criticism. He's going to allow her to be tried. Amen. And he already knows she will endure. He knows she will stand because she is the Word. Now, John the Baptist is now standing there and declaring all other worship places are not. The house of God, supposedly the temple, it's in vain to worship there. The place in Mount Gerizim over there in the Samaritans, it's in vain. If you build one down in Dan or Beersheba, it's in vain. Here is God's place of worship. Notice, Brother Raymond says it this way, to bring to naught all other places of worship, that's what the last day eagle is to do. What if the last day eagle is to say all of these other places are in vain to worship there, what will Satan counterattack and do? He'll come right back around and say, oh, that's not true. Well, you can worship in any denomination. They got the Holy Ghost just like we do. They can go in the Holy Ghost. Don't you see he's doing exactly that same thing? But those who still believe the restored word of Malachi 4 are saying the same thing he said. God has one provided place of worship. That's not at Happy Valley. That's not at Branham Tabernacle. That's in Christ Jesus. And how do we get in Christ Jesus? By Holy Spirit baptism. Amen. Now watch again in God's provided place of worship. He preaches three times, remember. What does the word quick mean? The Greek word means to be brought to life after death. Hallelujah. There's the gate of worship. worshiping in spirit and in truth, mechanics and dynamics. Now notice, then if the God's provided place of worship became a human being. Now is God going to only let the place of worship be in the body of Jesus, or will it be the mystical body of Christ? Now listen, if you're Jesus only, you're going to have a hard time with this. But will it be in the human body of Jesus through the sonship, or will it be a baptism into the mystical body of Christ? You see, in the mystical body this morning, folks over in South Africa have worshiped the Lord already. People over in Norway, it's already Sunday afternoon in Germany. People all over the United States are having church right now. Brother Homer Longoria is probably preaching that, and Brother Tim's about right now. And different meetings are going on at the same time. And the Lord Jesus, by His presence, is in every one of those places at the same time. No way for all of us to be baptized into the human body of Jesus, but we could all be baptized by the Holy Ghost into the mystical body of Christos, which is the invisible realm by which the Holy Ghost immerses each seed of God and recreates you after the image of God Himself. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then there is God's chosen place of worship today. That's why, friends, that we can be outside. We could be over to Pavilion and worship God. You could be in your home and worship God. Why? Your home, this place here, or some place called a sanctuary. That's not where God is limited to. But the place of worship is mechanics and dynamics merged together. You baptized into the mystical body is God's chosen place of worship. Watch this. He says, worshiping in spirit and in truth, mechanics and dynamics together. You see what I mean? If the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in, watch, in you, it will quicken, make alive your mortal bodies, because it's already life. And when it comes into your body, it brings your whole body subject to it. Well, I can't quit drinking. I can't quit this. I can't quit that. You need to get mechanics and dynamics. Because once you do, it brings your whole body subject to the Word. Oh, my. Notice again. This is the real church. You get into it by spiritual baptism, not by joining, not by some more, but by being baptized by the Holy Ghost into His body. All right, it's God's only provided way that He has left for us to do is to be baptized into His body by His Spirit. You understand, in order for God to truly receive mystical worship, it must come from a mystic. A mystic is one who delves in the realm of the supernatural. I'm talking about a witch. I'm talking about a medium. I'm talking about a mystic who's baptized into the mystical body of Christ. Watch, Jesus promised these things, that when we see God make His promise live before us and see that it's in us, His Spirit living in us, that's the only way of worship. The only place of worship. Now that's why people can come here in this building and still not worship. You could go to any church in the message, any church in the world as far as that goes, and still not be a worshiper. Now people think they are because they do this. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But God's only place of worship is when you're baptized into Christ. And you have mechanics, word, and dynamics, spirit, which immerses you into the divine channel of God's nature by which you're able to offer worship. Not only do you offer it, but He receives it. Other than that, you worship and you worship and you worship, but you worship by creeds, by dogma, by doctrine, or you might even have the truth and not be immersed into the mystical body, and you worship and you worship and you worship. You can't receive it. Oh my. Brother Donnie, is that scriptural according to Jesus? I mean, you debate with him. Howbeit in vain Do they worship me? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Hallelujah. Now let's look in Psalms 29:2, if you would. Acceptable worship must take its character from the nature of God. Let me say it again. Acceptable worship must take its character from the nature of God. Psalms 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. So to worship God in the beauty of holiness. Now according to your upbringing or according to where you sit today, depending on how you view holiness. A lot of folks, when you mention the word holiness, many of them according to the teaching they sit under, they will go to the internal holiness which is attributed to them by what they believe they have, the new birth. Others will say, well, it is that plus, it is what I do on the outside. And then they will attribute their holiness to how long their dress is, their hair and all that. Both of them are right, but not 100% right. True holiness has a beauty about it, according to the scripture. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, or the glory of his name, which is suitable to the nature of his name. Now, I think I quoted this to you maybe a couple weeks ago, but worship meant at the beginning, whenever the words are being merged together in the English language, it actually meant worship. Worth-ship. Instead of worship, it was worth-ship. Worth-ship. Or the condition of being worthy. As friendship is the condition of being friendly. So then, worth-ship was not just standing, oh Jesus, thank you for money, thank you for groceries, thank you for Pepsi, thank you for iced tea and chocolate cake and pumpkin pie and peach pie, thank you Lord for my Volkswagen, thank you for my Cadillac, my BMW, thank you Lord. That's not worth-ship. But you see, it was that they believed that a life which was worthy to be a recipient of the divine nature would not only do this, but it would reflect itself through worship. I still believe the same thing. I believe the greatest praise and adoration that you and I can give to Almighty God is not just singing and adoring and waving our hands and going back and forth in some methodical movement to Him and becoming routine like a computer or something, but our lives so reflect what we have received from Him. We are not just worshiping, we are worshiping Him. Worthy, worthy. What we're saying, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And our life is also saying the same thing. I live a worthy life of this gospel. Oh my. Notice now, David says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now what is holiness? Actually, the Bible gives us a triple answer. Or one succession that leads unto another. Three pulls, if you will. To where that it becomes holiness, more holiness, more holiness in perfection. Consecration to God is a holiness. We know that. And then a likeness to God is a holiness. And then God's own nature is the perfection of that holiness which reveals itself in the heart of the believer. So it's consecration, dedication, and then by nature of the virtue of Him who has recreated you after His own image. Now watch this in Exodus chapter 3 verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, which is Moses is seeing the bush on fire, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now look at this. It's a very familiar word used all through the Old Testament. Kodesh, which means apartness, holiness, sacredness, separateness. separateness or set apartness. Now here, this particular ground is classified by God Himself, who's the very fountain of holiness and purity, to be holy. So what made the ground holy? Was the chemistry of the ground different than another handful of dirt over here? If we could take and put it in a laboratory and look at it under a microscope, we'd probably see some of the same calcium, phosphorus, petroleum, potash, and whatever more that was made up. And you look at this handful over here, exactly the same molecular structure, made up exactly the same way. But what was it that made that ground holy? You know what it was. It was the presence of God. So the presence of God coming on that particular spot made this particular place holy. Kodesh. It was separated. But what separated? Did Moses take a shovel and go down there and shovel that spot out and put it over here in the sanctuary and enshroud it with a piece of glass and say, now it's holy? No, where God come down and touched that ground with the divine presence of the pillar of fire, that set that ground apart from all the rest of the mountain. Now you realize whenever Moses sees God, and then when God goes out and the presence of God leaves that particular spot, the ground reverts back to the natural ground it was before God appeared. Now what man wants to do is build a shrine on that holy spot. But God used it and went on somewhere else. But was it holy while He was there? It was. So if God's presence would make a particular spot of ground holy just by appearing for a few minutes and disappearing, what would it do to us if He comes and lives inside of us and He doesn't come and go, but He actually takes up His abode in our soul? What does that do? It imparts a sacredness from the soul. But remember, you must also be cleansed by the superfluity and the naughtiness of the flesh. That is terms of the Bible. Now watch again. Exodus chapter 16, verse 23. And He said unto them, that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see that which remaineth over, lay up to be kept until the morning. Now we're talking about a day that is holy. Now does God's presence move into the seventh day? No. It is a designation by deity to determine a certain day. So God said, take this day, the seventh day, and consecrate that day. Is it consecrated only because God said so? From His perspective, yes. From their perspective, no. Now, if they're going to make this day holy, they can't milk the cow, they can't bake the bread, they cannot walk but so far. Now, if they do, they are desecrating the holy day that God by His word said, this day is holy. But they go out and milk the cow. Or they go out and decide they're going to do this and that and the other. Well, is it holy? In the eyes of God, it is. But it's desecrated by the man who builds the fire. It's desecrated by the man who picks up the manna on the seventh day. You understand? So there is an allocation of holiness that requires what God says about it, but it also requires our obedience to what He says is holiness, or we desecrate what He has declared to be holy. You follow me? So the Sabbath was holy, but was it holy to everybody? No, not to everybody. Boy, you folks are quiet. Exodus 19:6. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now we have God declaring that the children of Israel are going to be a kingdom of priests. And remember, this is, it only goes up for so long, then God chooses the Levite and replaces the rest of them. They redeem the firstborn. But God now is going to allow them, this is a conditional prophecy by which God will allow them to enter into if they obey His word. They break it, so God moves over them to the Levitical order. So God says, you are holy. The whole nation of you is holy to me. How are they holy? Because they are picked out from the rest of the world. They are set apart. What makes people holy? Depends on which attribute you're talking about. In this attribute of holiness, they are holy because God reached down in Egypt and brought them out and said, you are my people. You are separate from everybody else. That is holiness. But everybody that was in that apart group wasn't apart. Everybody that came out of Egypt, everybody never left Egypt, get out of them. You understand? So they were holy, but they were not holy. I found out years ago there's a lot of folks in the holiness move wasn't holiness. I found out years ago there's a lot of folks in this message ain't holy either. Well, praise the Lord. Now, how can it be? Now, you can be holy. What does holy mean? Being pulled apart. Set apart. You know, we said this morning, lots of churches you passed to come to this one today. But why did you choose this particular one? Many of you, because you believe we have something to say that's a little bit different than the other churches where you passed by. A little bit more set apart. A little bit more finely tuned. Are we the only ones talking about Jesus? Of course not. Are we the only one talking about the cross and grace and mercy and forgiveness and pardon and redemption? Absolutely. Absolutely not. All kinds of other churches are saying such things. But yet somehow you believe that there was a part that was separated more and more and more. More holy unto the Lord. More holy unto the Lord. More holy unto the Lord. And you preferred to identify yourself in that separatedness instead of going to something that was more ecumenical. Now, does that mean everybody that came here today is holy? Absolutely not. You are sitting in a congregation that is set apart. You are sitting in a place that is set apart by identity. All you got to do is do a Google search or a Yahoo on Happy Valley. You'll pull up all kinds of stuff. You'll find out real quick we are set apart from most of the churches. And you'll find out me as the pastor, I'm plastered all over the internet and all over YouTube. So it's quite risky if you'd even come here. But are you holy just because you come? That depends on you. You follow me? Now, if we're going to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, we've got to find out what holiness is. Notice again, Exodus 28:3. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. Now, even though this is a different English word, it's the same Hebrew word, kodesh. So they're going to make Aaron. Now, Aaron is going to be, of course, the high priest. So Aaron is pulled apart from the children of Israel. The children of Israel are pulled apart from the Egyptians. Then you've got the Levites, which are pulled apart from the children of Israel. And you've got the priesthood, which are pulled apart. And now you've got the high priest, which is pulled apart from the children of Israel. Does God not love them all? He does. But Aaron is consecrated in a more holy manner. Does this make sense to your friends? He is consecrated in a more holy manner. And if he don't walk this way when he goes in behind the veil, God will kill him. So Aaron has to dress different. His clothes will set him further apart than the rest of the children of Israel. Now when he's out among the children of Israel, he would dress probably a lot like them. But when he comes into the office of being high priest, his clothes will separate him as holiness unto the Lord. Now he cannot choose what he wants to wear when he goes to worship. Now, Lord, I think this gray suit with this purple tie and this lavender shirt would look really awesome today. Lord, don't you think that pinstripe suit with this pumpkin-colored shirt and this tie, don't you think that would look much better than me going in with all these blue garments and red garments? And I got all this heavy thing on my chest here. I've got all these stones. I've got this big bonnet on top of me. Lord, now, come on. Let's be sensible about this. Don't you think, but you know what? If Aaron's going to be separated apart from the rest of the children of Israel as holiness unto the Lord, he has to put on what God says. And even though he's already consecrated, his clothes will consecrate him even further. So you see the stripped off naked Laodiceans, and you realize they're not consecrated at all. As a matter of fact, those religions who offered human sacrifice, that's one true sign you're fixing to die. They stripped you off naked before they burnt you. It's a true sign to me, Laodicea's fixing to be burnt. She's taking her clothes off. Not only naturally, but spiritually. Now, look at the same word again in Exodus 29:29. And the holy garments of Aaron, shall be his sons after him to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. Now, how in the world are garments even considered holy? Now, it's because of the office and the officer. So they are consecrated. How did they come from maybe the same wool or from some of the same silkworms or whatever more that they spun them from the acocosillus, which was a female bug, which laid her eggs in a real rare oak tree. And out of there, they would take and get 2-3 drops of a red dye and they would make the color of crimson in order to typify redemption. Was it because they were so separate? It was that. But it was because who had them on? So they would look at them garments and they were considered holy. Now could you come up and say, hey, Aaron, I really like that. Can I wear that? Can I try that on? You better not put that on. Why? Because you don't have the office to match them clothes. But if you've got the office, there's clothes already made for you. Oh, glory. But if you don't have the office, you better not put on the clothes. But if you're called with the office, don't worry. God will provide the wardrobe. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And they are holy. They are consecrated. Why? Only you can wear them. Notice again in Exodus chapter 29 verse 37. 7 days shalt thou make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now you would come to the consecration of the dedication of the temple or the tabernacle rather, where they are going to worship, praise God, give their sacrifices. Look how holy is intertwined in every stage of what they are doing. The man is going to offer it is holy. The garments he puts on is holy. Now, the altar is built out of whatever God had designated for them to build. Built by artisans or craftsmen, men that could carve, artisans that could work and go. It had been handled by ordinary men. So God said, I can't receive it like that. I want you to go in and dedicate the altar. I want you to consecrate it because you are already holy. You've been washed by the prophet and you have put on holy garments and you have the ability to consecrate the altar. And you, through this office, in obedience to my word, will take this ordinary piece of wood overlaid in gold, and through this office, I will transform this, and from this point on, I will make it holy. Amen. Not only that, but everything that touches that altar is holy. Amen. My, my. Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now this is after a soul has touched the altar, the amorphe of God. Now every soul that touches the altar of God, the Lord Jesus, they become holy. That soul coming back from the presence of God becomes recreated by the very nature of him who made him after his own image. That soul then is birthed inside this human body, which never had a new birth. This. But everywhere that attribute touches, it is holy. And that's why God can look at you and say you're without sin. There's no charge against you. And yet a preacher get up and burn your hide. 5 minutes he'll talk to you how sinless you are and how perfect you are in the presence of God. And the next 15 you feel like you're on a big green egg being barbecued. Why? He's talking about two different parts of you. I said he's talking about two different parts. If you've been on the altar of God, that soul of yours cannot be holy, unholy, clean, unclean, filthy, righteous. No, sir. If it's ever touched that altar of God, it has been changed forever. But here is the part, brother. Here is the part. As we yielded our members to unrighteousness, now we must yield. We who? The soul that's been on the altar of God. Now notice he says, so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness. Servants? So our members are not sons. Our members are not sons and daughters. Our members are servants. Our soul, hallelujah, our souls are sons and daughters of God, not our members, Brother Dan. Our members are servants. And what do servants do? What they're told. Either that or you're replaced. Praise the Lord. What if all you go in tomorrow in your job and you go in to the CEO's office or the office manager, whoever it is, say, pardon me, out of the way. I've decided today I ain't working out there no more. I want your job. Bring me some sweet tea and a moon pie, please. Call President Obama and say if he needs me, let me know. Call Pope Francis and tell him on the way out if he wants to come by and see me, I'll be glad to share a few minutes with him. I doubt, seriously, you'll get you a moon pie. You might get a crack on your head and you'll start seeing gazy stars and moons and that sort of thing. You know what they're going to do? They're going to put you to walking. Why? You are not hired to be the CEO to drink sweet tea and moon pies. You're hired to get out there and clean out the toilets. You're hired to get out there and sweep the floor. And you know what your place is. And if you don't get in that place, they will replace you. Then the same way with our body, our members are not sons yet. Oh, they are not sons, but they are to be made servants. I need hands to clap. Here you go. Here's mine. I need ears to hear. Here's mine. I need feet to take me to church. I need a body to worship here. What is your body? A servant to your soul. But these are like any other servants. When the master turns its back, and then when the master's gone, yeah, you go here. Yeah, what do you think I am, your servant? Yes. What do you think I am, your servant? I do. My soul has touched the altar, but you haven't. And I'm trying to do you a favor, body. I'm trying to take you out of this tribulation that's fixing to come on the earth. Oh my, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness. Is the body born to righteousness? It is not. Does the body enjoy doing righteous things? Do you think your body enjoys somebody smacks you on the face and your body says, here, hit the other one. You took too many pain pills if you do. Your daughter's on marijuana and the smoke is infiltrated into your bedroom. Your flesh is just like mine. It's rotten, it stinks, it ain't no count. Notice Paul says, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. Servants of righteousness unto holiness. Now look at this hagamos, which is sanctification, consecration, purification, sanctification of heart and life. As we submit our bodies to the soul which has been touched by the altar of God, our bodies become more subject to the word. Are they born again? They're still not born again. My body is no closer now to being born again than it was when I first received the Holy Ghost years ago. But it is becoming more subject. I'm hoping before the body changes, this old body of mine becomes a mute slave. Let's go over here. Shut up. Sit down. Don't you say that on Facebook. Praise the Lord. I realize I'm only talking to pickles now, not cucumbers. I understand there's pickle pictures all over Facebook after last week. Hope some of them bore your image. It ain't good enough to take one a kosher deal and this and that and other. You got to become pickled yourself, friend. Watch this in Romans 6:22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. Look at the word separate, a phrase, which is divide, sever, to mark off from others by boundaries. Yes, so if we have Christians today, so-called, that smoke and sinners that smoke, I guess I'm misunderstanding the boundary. We have Christians that curse and sinners that curse. And we have Christians that look like the world and world that look, I guess I'm missing the boundary somehow. Where is the obedience to the Word of God that we are... Now look, this is not what Brother Bram said. This is what your Bible says. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. To mark off from others by boundaries, to limit, to separate, to exclude as disreputable. To appoint, set apart for some purpose. We're just now getting willing worship. Oh my. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You mean he won't receive us if we're touching the unclean thing? Oh. You know what? Sometimes, friends, we have to separate from families. It's hard, I'm telling you. It's hard. Husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, you know, maybe they go a different way than the Word. If you love that Word more than you love anything else, you'll love mom and you'll love daddy and aunt and uncle and brother and sister, but you'll put that Word first no matter what. Of course, if you're a cucumber, you won't. You'll try to straddle the fence and compromise with anybody. I'll tell you one thing, straddling the fence on barbed wire can really be tough. It can really get uncomfortable. And myself, I'd rather take sides and let everybody know where I'm standing. And since I want to take sides of Jesus, that's where I plan on being. I don't want barbed wire running up and down my middle to you. No, sir. I want everybody to know, including devils out of hell, whose side I'm on. And if you want to know what I believe, all you got to do is ask me. I ain't like some of these petty, penny-waste preachers that hide what they believe. If you want to know what I believe, ask me. I'm not afraid of this word. I'm not ashamed of this prophet. I'm not ashamed of this message. Hold on. I'm not ashamed of you, church. Even though you all are far from being perfect and you got plenty of mistakes and plenty of shortcomings, but I am not ashamed to say I am the pastor of Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. And we believe in water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we believe in salvation by the grace of God. We believe in a rapture. We believe in a prophet. We believe in a tribulation period. We believe, hallelujah, in a millennium. Wow, whoever that was for, there you go. Notice, God sometimes makes us separate from our state. The state where we live. The home that we've lived in. Families that we've been so close to. Watch this. Brother Bam says, Abraham, when he had heard the word of God, and he came down from the land of Chaldea, the city of Ur, coming down from the Shinar, perhaps, maybe a heathen family, they're all I know. God said, separate yourself from your kindred. That's what you have to do a lot of times. Separate yourself from a lot of unbelief. And remember, until Abraham fully obeyed God, the blessing never come until he fully obeyed God. He took his daddy along and caused trouble. Lot finally caused trouble. Ooh. Well, I know you don't want to hear it, but that's a lot of what's happening right now, friends. We've took daddy along, mama along, Lot along, this along. But it's time for separation. Notice again, he said God called a complete separation to separate himself from the rest of the world, from all of his people, from all of his kindred. That was a special thing for him to do. And when God expects you to do a special thing, he demands a complete separation from any doubt. I'm totally convinced. Why, a lot of folks see no need to separate from the world. They don't have a special call. A special call demands separation. Lot could go right back down to Sodom and feel as comfortable right there, a bunch of them homosexuals. He could be right there among them perverts, and he could call them brethren. Oh, Lot was a real ecumenical ex-message follower. Brothers, do not so wickedly. Read your Bible in Genesis 19 and see if that ain't what he called them. Don't do this. He offered his daughters to them perverts. The man's thinking so degenerated actually left the message up under the oak up there. He becomes so degenerate. And his daughters became so degenerate they slept with their father. That's what some of these folks are heading for. Why? The boundaries are pulled up. No boundaries, no separation, nothing black and white evermore. Everything is questionable. This ain't wrong, that ain't wrong, that ain't wrong. Can't you see it, friends? They look at us and say, oh, the poor old things, they're all hemmed up beside all them walls. I said it to Brother Ron Spencer. They look at these walls and call them prison walls. We're calling them castle walls. Hallelujah. A wall is built for a purpose. They can call them prison walls if they want to. I call it a defining line of separation. And those on the inside are the queen of the city. Hallelujah. Let them make fun. Let them ridicule. But before long, they'll wake up in tribulation period and see what tearing the walls down done for them. Oh, my. Can you imagine Abraham? Oh, I wish I didn't have to leave Ur. Man. 5 years down the road, 20 years down the road, 30 years down. Man. I had it so much easier. I remember back in there in my daddy's God shop, we sold and made gods. And man, we'd burn people up. I mean, we'd just burn them up. Everything was so much easier. I mean, now I may have fallen this invisible God, and I don't know from one day to the next how it's going to get the water and the food and all that. If any, he said he's going to lead me out here to the land of promise. I get over here, all I find is a little bitty old valley and oak, and then it all dried up. Man alive, it was so much easier. I mean, I got a salary, had Blue Cross, Blue Shield, had all my benefits, FICA, everything was there for me. My daddy paid me well. We had beans and taters and cucumbers and pickles and everything. Everything was so easy. And now I'm out here in the wilderness with God. Let me bring it on down. When I was a pastor down in Monticello, Kentucky, hardly nobody knew me. Search YouTube all you want. You wouldn't find me on there. You search any website you want to search. You wouldn't find me on there. You wouldn't even find me in Who's Who's book. I didn't get in the Who's Who's book till I come here. Literally. I'm in the Who's Who's book. Didn't do anything for me. Just a little spot there with my name and what to do. So I ask you, would I have been better off to stay down there? Or would I have been better off to follow God and come here in order to help you? Now you ask yourself the question, was it easier for me then or now? Ask yourself the same question about you. When you was a Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, just happy-go-lucky, suck on cigarettes, cigars every now and then, get your little drink on the side, go to church, pay your tithes, man alive, you was a religious devil. I mean, you just religion. You've done your religious stuff, and you'd drink a little bit of wine on the side and flirt with the girls on the side, as long as your wife didn't know, and you women done the same thing. Oh, I'm telling on you now. Oh, my, you was just as happy as you could be, and all of a sudden, something began to grab a hold of you. What was it doing? Starting construction on building walls. What's it going to do? It's going to separate you from that appetite of the world. It's going to separate, and the more separated you got, the more consecrated you got, your clothes started changing lengths. And the tops up here, instead of being way down here, they got way up here. And instead of being as tight as the skin on a wiener, they got where you could get in them real comfortable. I don't see how women even wear some of the clothes they're in today. They go, ain't I sexy? You look like a gorilla to me. So I ask you, are you more happy today eating at the table of the king, or you want to go back to the pig swap? We got three sets of double doors that'll take and lead you out, and one up here if you'd like to go this way. But if you want to stick around, we'll be serving dessert here shortly. Entirely up to you. But you see what the world wants? They want to set the table of the king and straddle the world too. Why? They don't want to kodesh. Separate. 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 Second Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You mean to tell me God ain't going to do this? There's something I got to do after all. Let us cleanse ourselves. Look at the word cleanse. Make clean, purge, purify, cleanse from physical stains and dirt. Same root Greek word that we get the word carterize from. Carterize? Y'all familiar with that, aren't you? So you got a wound that's bleeding real bad, or they can't sew it up, or they can't stop it, or what do they need to do? Then what did they do? Carterize it. Ah. And y'all ever been carterized? I mean, besides me. You ever been carterized physically? Did you ever just, oh, doctor, thank you so much. Thank you. I want to give you a bonus for that. Thank you so much. You stopped my bleeding. Thank you so much. Look at you. And you go to that doctor and you know, I'm going to have to hurt you. I'm going to sew up that thing, this and that and other, and I'm going to do this and that. But if you don't, I tell you one thing, you're going to suffer bad. Do it, doc. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready. And you go through weeks and weeks of punishment, and you come back, sit down in his office, and you sit there with an attitude. Do you still like me?
Mr. Doctor, I'm doing better. I'm doing a lot better. I can't imagine when you're so bad. I'm really doing good, Doc. Thank you so much for helping me. This surgery transformed my life. Thank you so much. Well, the doctor said you're right on schedule. About another 3 months, you should be back to normal. Okay, doctor, thank you. Be sure and pay your bill on your way out. Okay. Yeah, okay. I got $1,000 deductible since Obamacare's come in. I'll be back and see you, Doc. I'll see you. Thank you so much, doctor. Thank you. I love you. And you'll get mad at a preacher that'll try to pull something out of your soul that's going to damn your soul to hell. You'll go in there and wait and wait and wait and wait for that doctor and wait and wait. He's late on his appointment. You sit there and wait. And he's late. You sit there and wait. And you sit there and wait. Why? Because you care about this so much. And a man try to tell you the truth to carterize something from your soul, and you get mad and won't come back for 6 months. Maybe I should have had Brother Jewel to stay over here today. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord.
Without holiness, you'll not see the Lord. And the church said, Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. Notice, put off and put on. Put off and put on. The new man, which after God is created. The new man after God is created in righteousness. Can't you see why? The new birth can only be God who does it. The new birth is an act of creation. I read yesterday where they figure in the known universe there are 100 octillion stars. I know. Most of you never even heard that word. I didn't read this yesterday. 100 octillion. A one with 29 zeros behind it. And they say that'll change within 6 months because the universe is still expanding. That's awesome, isn't it? But I'll tell you what's also expanding right here in this building. All over the earth, the creation of God is still not going. There may not be 100 octillion souls that'll be saved. But you think that creator is still creating. This is why folks think they got the new birth. They can impersonate so many things that Christians do. But the new birth is something only the creator can do himself. Because you are a new creation. A new creature. Hallelujah. Yeah. In Christ Jesus. Notice what Paul says. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we move to the third aspect of true holiness, which is perfect holiness. This holiness is that which is placed in the soul by the creation of God himself. This is not anything you and I do. We cannot lay aside this and cleanse that and do that. That's the thing that has to touch the altar of God. And God actually takes you and recreates you. And makes you a new creation. In the same old body. Watch this. In Ephesians 4, again verse 24, that you put on the new kainos man. Recently made. Fresh. Recent. Unused. Unworn. As recently is made superior to what it succeeds. Put on the new man. Now you and I cannot make the new man, but we allow the influence of that which has not been used. It has not been worn. The devil was married to my old nature, but he ain't never been married to this new one. The devil used my old nature. The devil wore out my old nature. But this one's only been used by God. Oh my, that ye put on the new man. The changed, transformed man. Which after God is created in righteousness. In the image of God. In the image of God. Of God. Man by regeneration is restored to the original image of God. You didn't get that, you'd have tore them pews up. If you really believed your soul has been restored to that original image, tell me what can ever get in your way. He is of such a nature that he tends toward acts of holiness, righteousness, and purity. It's just as common to him as it is a sinner cussing. You think the sinners have to think and really consider about cussing and drinking? You've been around folks like that. My, we go hunting sometimes and we stayed in some of these hunting lodges. And them guys, I'm telling you, I never heard such stuff in my life. Such filthy language. As they say and all, but you know, you realize when you get there for a while. My, when we first went to one place, we started going up there and they was as foul mouthed as they can be. Brother Daniel said, hey, we got some preachers with us, but now whenever I go, they call me Brother Donnie. Every now and then it'll slip out. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You think, thank God. Thank God. You know why? They're trying to make this old body change to my atmosphere, but they ain't got a new birth. So they'll slip up every now and then. They'll get real religious. Well, what kind of preacher are you? Are you a denomination where they go to talking about the Lord? Because you know what to talk about to everybody else. But there's something about your influence and something about your life. And they know you don't enjoy that stuff. I'm glad folks know I don't enjoy that. I will not push my religion on anybody. But I believe we can live in such a way that they can have a respect because they know you're real and genuine. But what do they think if they see you as a compromise? Let me close with this. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's image, which was first lost in Adam, has been gloriously restored in God's chosen place of worship, Christ. And we are actually created brand new. You're not the same one, same old thing, patched up. Many of you remember years ago, I had an old 53 Ford truck. Me and Carol had one when we first got married, and I always wanted one, got in a hard spot and had to sell it. So I found one over here at the airport and bought it for a few $100s. Took it down to Kentucky, had my cousins to work on it. It had an old straight frame axle on the front, so this guy over here cut the clip off and put a Camaro clip on the front end. My cousins took it down there and boxed in the frame, and oh, they really modified it. They done a lot of things for it. It's got a Volkswagen windshield wiper motor, it's got a GMC front seat, and it's got a 350 Chevy engine. It's really something to look at. My cousin still got it. I sold it back to him. But you know, whenever you look at the way the folks try to make the new birth, that's the way they do the new birth. Well, let's just take a little bit of Baptist and let's adjust this Baptist thing. Now, them old Ford trucks had a metal dash on the inside. So my cousin got another blowtorch and cut that dash out, and he modified the dash out of a Mustang car and put it inside. Had the little wing windows on the side. Well, he made them power, and he made the power windows go up and down. And he took the gas tank out from under, put a polished aluminum gas tank. No wires, no hoses, nothing visible under the hood. When you raise up the hood, there's no hoses. The brake cable's actually hidden and buried inside of it. It's really something to see. Y'all curious now, ain't you? That's the way a lot of folks want to do with the new birth. Well, let's put a little jacket up on this side and put a little Pentecostal on this leg. And then we'll jack up this side and we'll make us a little bit Baptist so we'll kind of balance him out as he walks. And then we'll put a little Church of Christ over on this side. Let's do a little Baptist over here. Boy, have you got a creep and you get done. But God said, no, I don't want a little bit of Volkswagen, a little bit of Chevrolet, a little bit of GMC. I want word, 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 word. And I'm going to create that soul after my original pattern. Let us make man in our image. Do you understand that is still being fulfilled in our souls? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And this is what you're created to. Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So if you got a new birth and you're not doing good works, you got a Volkswagen windshield wiper motor. You got a Camaro front end on a Ford frame truck. Now it rides better, I assure you. Many of you remember what them old trucks was like that. They had a straight axle across the front, and them old springs on the front. There ain't nothing in the world you could do to ever make them right. So they cut the clip off and put the eye suspension underneath the front end of it. Oh, it drove like a dream. Power steering, power brakes, air, Bose audio system. Whoa. But it wasn't original. Volkswagen had a claim on it. Chevrolet had a claim on it. Ford had a claim on it. Henry Ford would have passed out if he'd have seen it. Ain't no way in the world Henry Ford ever stuck a GMC Chevrolet truck in that thing. Put a Camaro clip under that. That absolutely unheard of. And that's the way a lot of folks, they come up to the auto show and they may win a lot of trophies. It still didn't. It's still doing it right now. It's won a lot more because I seen it a few weeks ago. It's still winning. It's still winning trophies. But to go back to the original, you couldn't even find the original. It don't even look like the original did. I want an experience that'll lead me back to Acts chapter 2 verse 4. I don't want a little bit of Church of Christ and a little bit of Baptist and a little bit of this and a little bit of this. A little bit of you and you and you and you. Add it all mixed together. What God? Oh, it's a real proper preacher. It would win a lot of trophies in this day and age. He's so proper. He's so kind. He so never offends nobody. My, it sounds like some politician. I mean, not a preacher. A preacher that don't offend people, there's something wrong with him. And if you're born of the Spirit of God, you want this thing corrected. You want it brought subject to holiness. Colossians chapter 3 verse 9. Lie not to one another, seeing that you've put off the old man with his deeds. The Greek verbs translated put off and put on indicate a once and for all action. You don't put it off and put it on and put it off and put it on and put it off and put it on. If you ever put it off and put it on, you're on forever. Amen. Well, I just got to the place of worship. Now we got to close. We'll pick it up, Lord willing, next week. The Oriental, the Greek, the Roman religions said little or nothing about personal holiness. Personal commitment. So you could be a Roman, come up to the temple, whichever one that you're going to worship at, do exactly what they required for you to do, go out, lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery, whatever more. Nobody thought any less of you. Go to the Parthenon, go to the Greek gods, mythology, do everything they declared, go out and live a terrible life. They never thought bad of you. Because they're doing the same thing. But Christianity introduced not only a form of worship, if you will, but a changing of the life of the worshiper. Toward the worshiper took on the nature of the sacrifice. Now, if you're coming up to one of the Roman days, if you live in the days of Vespasian, and he and one of the first ones to come up and say that the emperors were gods. And it got to where by the 300s and 400s up to there that they changed emperors so often. Every emperor was a god after that. And I've stood there in Rome and seen them. So they got to where they just take the head off and leave the body, the same body, and just replace it with a new god. That's what a lot of folks do. Their god's an NBA star until he does this, that, and that. Then they change over and change his head and he's a football star. And then it's some movie star. Why not make it the bright and morning star? And let that head and body be merged together and you'll have one. What does that take though? A creation. A creation. And God alone can create. So the new birth, he brings that little seed of yours by representation on the altar of God. On the altar of God, it becomes born by the breath of God. And you become a new creature on the inside of you. New desires, new motives, new objectives. A set apartness happened to you spiritually. A holiness struck you from within that nothing will ever take away. Then you become in the battle of bringing holiness out here. Separateness, pulling it apart. Brother Donnie, when will we ever quit? When we're changed. You understand what we're doing? Everything we do in life that we lay aside. Well, I quit that. I can't do that. I quit believing this. And that ain't right for me to believe. And I'm separated. What are we doing? And the body change will be the last stage of separation. It'll separate mortal from immortality. So the immortal soul will finally touch the body. And everything that it touched was changed. It'll finally touch the body. And all of a sudden, your hair will come back. Your wrinkles will go out.
Why? Your body finally made it to the altar. Kodesh has finally become a reality. Now your body will be set apart from sickness, set apart from time, set apart from old age. I don't know about you. I don't like getting old. I know some of you kids do. I did too when I was in your age. I was out of my mind. I used to think people that was 50 was ancient. But I find it amazing now. People of me and like my age are saying, well, he's 59. He's a young man. I was with some preachers not long ago when we rented a cabin down in Pigeon Forge, and just talking about different things, you know, just talking about the word and different things, and then start talking about grandchildren and talking about sicknesses and this and that. One of them made a comment, said, you know, you can tell we're all getting older because now we're talking about our medications and we're talking about our grandchildren, our great grandchildren. Dispensation change. Were we made to be that way? We were not. Were you sisters made to walk into the mirror and the first one you see maybe here or right there, oh no, oh no. Or maybe it's up here, oh no. And you sneak down to Walmart and buy some of that magical potion. Maybe he won't notice. You'll check his head if he's got any left. He's probably got some too. Why do we hate that, Brother Dale? Why do we hate it when we get up in the morning? Oh, oh man. I must have slept funny last night on my shoulder. Because I got up this morning, literally, I couldn't hardly move my arm. I thought, oh man, oh goodness. But he said, friends, my body is crying for a separation. It won't be too many settings of the sun that I'll get to a place I won't be able to remember as good. I won't be able to quote as much as I used to. It's going to be bad. For me, with my makeup, it's going to be bad. When I stand up here and stutter and... And some of these young people have to say it for me. It's time for me to sit down. Some of you that lose your vitality and lose your strength, why don't we say, hallelujah, I'm getting old. Glory to God. We're not made to rejoice that way. Praise God. But one day, the separation will come. When immortality will move over into this body. And old age will be gone. Wasn't that a beautiful illustration Brother Joe used last night? No deflection against you, Brother Gene. But I must say, I'd rather be like that young man too than you. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gallery of worship. To really be true worshipers, to walk arm in arm with God our Father, and to be able to truly worship Him. We must have a nature which has been set apart. Now friend, don't think and get in your mind that the only ones that He receives worship from is those that screaming and hollering and shouting. In the New Testament, when Jesus came, many people, the Bible says, worshipped Him. But remember, there's none of them converted yet. So we're still dealing with the Old Testament. So we must move from the old and the hinging of the old and the new to the new to understand New Testament worshipers. So it's not enough to go, Lord, I worship You. Lord, I worship You. Lord, I worship You. But to be true worshipers, we must have the nature which can only come by a new creation. This is why we can believe all we want to. We can put our name on a book. We can quit doing this and that and the other. But we're not new creatures by doing any of that. God alone is the Creator. I've said it for years and I'm going to keep on saying it. To me, the greatest shortcoming that we have around this message is people who aren't really born again. They come from the Baptist church, the Pentecostal church, whatever more, and they just added message doctrines to what they already believed. And they've never truly been born again. Oh my. May God help us today. If you're here today and you've not, I trust that God would perform that act of creation in your soul. If you have been,
And you need more separation. Separation, maybe from a family member. Maybe from a theory, an opinion that you can't let go of. An unbelief that shattered your life. Something you learned back in the Baptist church, at the Pentecostal church. God's word calls for total separation. The stages of Abraham's life was one separation after another, after another, after another. Until he comes right up before the time and the setting of Sodom. And finally, God separates old age from Abraham and Sarah. And remember when that happens, right before Sodom was burned. Hallelujah. And maybe just like to be remembered before the Lord today, wherever you are. And I'm not saying you're lost. I'm not saying you don't need the Holy Ghost, but just wherever you are in your walk with God. God bless you. My hand up as well. Heavenly Father, how could we, mortals born in sin, ever approach a holy, righteous God? We know if you demanded holiness and perfection, and you do, then you have to make a way for that perfection and that holiness. And you've revealed it as an inward work by new creation, starting it in the soul. And then it works its way out. And then we make our bodies, members, to be servants of that which is laid upon the altar of God. We know, Lord, being married to that first nature, our husband, which had the rule over us, was our first nature. You could never marry us as long as we were married. And a divorce wasn't suitable because you could not marry a divorced woman either. So what we had to do is to be recreated. So our soul, when it finally happened, that we was able to make it on the altar of God. The wrath of God broke loose on us. If we could only get the picture of redemption right, that's what happened to Jesus. The wrath of God broke loose on Jesus. And he said he walked alone and he tread the winepress of the wrath of God. And the wrath of God for our sins broke loose upon him. And the judgment of God sent him to hell. Then when we become born again, the wrath of God breaks upon that nature. And that nature must die. It is not patched. A little bit of this put on it, a little bit of something else put on it. A new coat of paint. But Lord, it must die. And that seed which we were by predestination is then given the breath of life. There starts the new birth. There starts the forming of the union of our soul, our theophany, our glorified body. It starts from that new birth. As it was in Sarah, the body materialized around the Word. If we could only realize, Lord, we are not that far away this very day. For those who truly have the Holy Ghost on their souls, they are only one dimension away. For the Word has already started materializing in their soul. The materialization just needs to move over to this mortal realm, and this mortal will be swallowed up. Was immortality. The creation has already started. If it is true that the universe is still expanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still going, going, going. Lord, creation of your word, as it begins in us, that universe is also expanding. Bringing our lives in more harmony with your word. Praise God. Help me, Lord Jesus. I don't need to be born again, Lord. I don't think I need to fall upon the altar of God. I've already done that. But I need it to expand.
from the core of my universe, my soul. Hallelujah. Lord, we know even us being in our galaxy where we are, us rotating around our star, the sun. We know, Father, that as you placed us there, the planetary alignment, we rotate around the sun and spin around and around. We hang there in space, make our pass almost every 24 hours. And we're not laying there as a flat piece of earth, but we're hanging there as a sphere or a ball. And those that have seen the pictures of the earth from Hubble and different telescopes look and see, Lord, here we may wind up being on the side or hanging down at the bottom. How is it the Antarctic water don't fall off? How is it that South Africa doesn't fall off on the lower part of the earth? Because you placed it there. And she goes around and around and around that sun. Lord Jesus, may our spirit, may our bodies orbit around the pivotal point of our universe as it was. That born soul. Praise God. May the gravitational pull from our soul make our spirit and our bodies obey. And keep them in proper alignment. It doesn't mean the earth has the same temperature as the sun. It doesn't mean that our moon has the same temperature as the sun or even the earth. But yet, Lord, they're brought into the proper alignment. And there they go around and around and around. Lord, may our bodies, our spirits, our minds, our demeanor, our behavior, everything we are. Oh, glory to God. May it rotate around that changed nature within our soul, that which has touched the altar of God. May it bring our bodies subject. May it bring imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection. May it rotate around the amorphe. And our soul. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Those of you who are in God's provided place of worship, before we leave, can we just raise our hands? Now your son, your soul, needs a sphere by which it can contact a material world. It needs your hands. It needs your voice. Your soul cannot speak in an audible tone. Your soul cannot raise arms that don't have arms. Your soul can't raise hands that don't have hands. Only but what your body has. So let your spirit, your imagination, your conscience, your memory, your reason, your affection, let it rotate in the solar system of you. And then let your body be in harmony with that solar system as well. And yet let your soul send out the message, I want to worship God before I go to lunch. I want to worship God before I go out the building. I need some hands. Then your body in the proper planetary alignment, your body will yield to the control of the soul. The soul speaks to the spirit. The spirit speaks to the body. And both in harmonious alignment with the soul. Then your hands go up. Your eyes are closed. And your voice will start saying, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. Then if your spirit is also in line, then it has the ability of bringing your spirit, which is your emotions. And it won't be just dead, lifeless hands there. But in a moment or two, maybe tears will start trickling out of your eyes, which are not controlled by you raising your hands. Tears don't come because you raise your hands. But tears are associated and tied with the avenue of your emotions, which is your spirit. And when something contacts your spirit, sad news, good news, overwhelming news, joyful news, then something begins to move the tear ducts and the tear glands in your eyes. And your eyes begin to release water. What is it?
You are then in harmonious alignment. Your soul, your spirit, your body. Others of you may feel such a static joy that you're jumping up and down. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. What is it? You're in alignment again. But the thing is, we want to be in alignment in the way God wants us to be. If He wants you to shout, shout, brother. If He wants you to cry, cry, my brother. Be what He wants you to be instead of trying to be like somebody else. Praise God. Praise God. As you know, tonight, there will be a total eclipse of the moon. For several hours it will go. The lunar phases. It's quite amazing. It's just looking how God has made it. Only happened so many years and all that, just overwhelming. God's placed it there. Or what about us? Maybe the Spirit of God can come and help us to so align and harmonize our soul, our spirit, our body. That we can enter in with mechanics and dynamics and worship and love and adore. Not only here, but when we walk out that place, we will know I am one of God's chosen places of worship. Not just Happy Valley. Not this building. This building one day will burn. You will be in heaven when this building is ashes. One day my Bible will turn back to dust and ashes, but the effects of that Bible will change me and take me into His presence. Don't misunderstand me. Which has the most value, you or this? Come on. Which has the most value in the eyes of God, this or this? Let's worship Him, shall we? Let's have your dinner. Lay aside your trip after church. Let's just worship Him. Mechanics and dynamics. Dynamics isn't always, and remember, a loud, screaming, hollering voice. Dynamics is that power which makes it work. Amen. Let's worship Him a little before we go. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus. I thank You today, Lord. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. I thank You we don't have to go to Mecca. I thank You we don't have to go to Jeffersonville. I thank You, Lord, we don't have to go to Germany or Tanzania or Happy Valley Church. I thank You, Lord, we can go into that one place, Christ Jesus. Whether we're rich or poor, bond or free, black, white, red, yellow, it makes no difference. We can all stand there as brothers and sisters if we're baptized by the Holy Ghost into that mystical body. Then we are baptized into that place of worship. We walk away from that place as being another place of worship. Unlike the people at Jerusalem, when they would go there three times a year to worship, the men that would go did not leave as little Jerusalems. They would go back to their house as they were, back to their part of the country where they lived. But when we come in Christ, then we leave little Messiahs, little anointed ones. And we're not Jerusalem, but we are Bethlehem, the house of God's bread. Oh, Jesus, I worship You, my Lord. I magnify You, my God. We don't want to worship some deity we've made. We don't want to worship some creature of our imagination. But we want to worship the living God who is the Word. We worship You today, Lord Jesus. We magnify You, Father. I thank You, Lord. I thank You. I am part of that new creation. My soul this very day bears the image of the living God. The first Adam lost my image, but the second Adam regained it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By His willingness, He imparted unto me by new birth
the image of the invisible God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Adonai, great Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Who became the Lord Jesus. God's human redemptive name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. That's it, children. Just find your channel. Find your channel. Don't worry about trying to be like the person standing by, your husband, your wife, your neighbor. Find your channel. Your planetary alignment as it was, by which your spirit, your soul, your body communicate together and reflect back into the mystical presence of God, a receivable worship, because you've been made partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. Praise God. I worship you, Lord Jesus. Sing something, Harry. Let's just worship him together now. Let's just give him a few minutes before we go. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I will praise him.
Yes, Lord.
Praise the Lamb for sinners
slain. Come to him, not by accepting a creed, not by joining a church. You don't come to him by saying, I believe Brother Branham is a prophet. You can believe that every day of your life and be lost. I go to Happy Valley. You can do that and be lost. How do we get in him? By one spirit, we're all baptized into that body. And if you have that spirit, Jesus said, how be it when the spirit of truth has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Let me just ask you, how does it feel to be one of God's chosen places of worship? To where you don't have to come here to pray, come here to worship, come here to adore. But if you go to a park this evening and you're in the need of prayer, He can come right there where you are because you are in God's chosen place. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless you. I adore you. I love you, my King. You're my first, my last. Lord, I didn't mean for it to sound a while ago that I have any regrets for following you. Oh, the closer I've followed you, the more difficult it's become. But I by no means mention the difficulty as a reflection of regret. I would do it all again. Now that I know what can happen for standing for truth, I would do it knowing the consequences. And if it leads to imprisonment, so be it. If it leads to me losing my life, so be it. May I be like Polycarp if it comes to that place. When they come and said to him, you're an old man. Why would you do this now? Recant. And he said, all my years he's been so good to me. He's never done me nothing but good. How can I turn from him now? Praise be to God. We love you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Just once more, can we just raise our hands and give him a wave offering? A wave offering. Now, if you have mechanics and dynamics and you're baptized into the mystical body, your worship is coming up from a mortal here in the realms of time and being received before the presence of Almighty God. Sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus, seasoned unto holiness and sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call you brothers. Praise God. Praise God, for He is holy. Hey? Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
For He is holy.
Amen, Lord.
He's holy.
Let's sing it just before we go.
music. Let the people sing it together. He is holy. Holy. Glory to God.
Holy.
Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Sing it to him, children. If you, by grace, have been able to touch that holy altar of God, now you are holy, set apart, sanctified, consecrated. Let's sing it together as we go. Service Wednesday night. Lord willing, we'll be looking at it a little further. How that God allowed a pestilence to move among the children of Israel and caused a snake bite. It was the type of snake that produced the fiery venom in their body. They were complaining because of thirst, so called. Now they complain about the water, they complain about the food. Now God allows a serpent to bite them, which will cause such pain. And such thirst, and it will kill them. But God's remedy for a snake bite was hanging a snake on a pole. What a peculiar way to heal a snake bite. But our God does things in peculiar ways, don't He? God bless you. Let's sing it together. For He is holy as we go. I love you, saints. I love you. I want us to be together that day. I don't want one of you missing. Let's sing it together. For He is holy, Lord God, You are holy.